many of you have seen the movie, I Bought a Zoo? You like it?
Yeah.
Awesome movie, right? There's a great quote in there by Benjamin Mee. And it says, all it takes is 20 seconds of insane courage and great things will happen. Have you seen that in your own life? All it takes is 20 seconds of insane courage and great things will happen. I think oftentimes we have this unreal expectation on ourselves as followers of Jesus. We think, I need to kind of live in this state of courage, perpetual courage, every second of every day. And it's such high expectation, so when we don't meet it, we feel bad about ourselves. But in fact, it's this taking a risk, 20 seconds of insane courage, and it just sends a ripple effect. Causes the kingdom to begin to happen. Now, I think likely as we take steps and we have those 20 seconds of insane courage, it begins to set a pattern in our lives for sure. There's a text that I'm going to dive in today, and it's Hebrews 11. And it's traditionally called the faith chapter. And these folks lived kind of in that place. There was numerous times through their lifetime where you can see 20 seconds of insane courage and great things happened as a result. Like we said at our last citywide, they took God's favor for a spin to see what it'll do. They kind of lived in that place. So let me read some of Hebrews 11, and then I'll give a few thoughts. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God, or he walked with God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there was no way to count them. And the text goes on and on. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of his Joseph's sons. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. It was by faith. All of it by faith. How many of you love a good story? How many of you kids, when you go to bed, you often ask your parents, hey, tell me a story? Any of you kids do that? How many of you, your parents sometimes say, I don't have any new stories. I've told you all the stories. And you say to them, I don't care if I've heard it before, just tell me it again. Anybody? If it's a good story, you want to hear it again and again and again. The Hebrew people, when it got dark, they didn't have Xbox. They didn't have their flat screen TVs. They didn't have their eye touches to entertain them in the wee hours of night. What did they do to entertain themselves? You know? They told stories. They sang a lot of songs. They danced, and they told stories. And in fact, they would tell stories, oftentimes, over and over and over again, so much to the point that kids knew the story off by heart. It was an oral culture. They spoke and shared story. The Hebrew people were very familiar with these people that I just read about. In fact, they had heard those stories over and over again. Now, I don't know if you know anything about these people. Some of them, in your mind, would be commended. You would put them kind of up here. You would say, wow, yeah, they were great people. People like Enoch, Scripture says, that he walked with God. There was Noah. Abraham, God told him to leave all that he knew, his family, his culture, and move to a place that God had called him to, the land of Canaan. And that even though he was in his 90s, that he would be the father of a great nation. Sarah, she was a new mom, learning how to change diapers when she was 90 plus. Moses, God would use him to rescue his people living under the thumb of the Egyptians. But some, if you know anything about them, you read them and you go, they're listed in this chapter, this faith chapter, listing all the heroes of faith. And you hear some of the names and you go, how come they're in there? Did you hear anybody in what I just read that you go, why are they listed in the heroes of faith chapter? Rahab the prostitute. Wow, she's in the faith chapter. There's others in there that you go, Samson. Yeah, he was set apart by God to do great things, but he was a man who showed no restraint, no self-discipline. In fact, he was a very lustful man. He often, what he wanted, he got, but it wasn't often that he wanted the good things, the righteous things. There's this guy named Jephthah. I'm amazed he's listed in the Heroes of Faith chapter. In fact, he's the son of a prostitute. He was outcast by his family. He was abandoned by his people. Yet God chose him and used him mightily. And then we know David, who had a heart after God, but he was also a murderer. He too took things that didn't really belong to him. And we see and get a sense that God's economy is quite a bit different than ours. That who God chooses isn't necessarily who we would choose. Often God chooses the least and the lost, the marginalized, those that we think, I don't know if God can really use that person. He chose the weak, the small. In fact, when you read this, it takes faith for us to read that God chose these people and used them. That he was actually behind that choosing. You ever wonder why some people aren't listed in the faith chapter? Who do you think in the Bible should actually be in the faith chapter but aren't listed there? Anybody? Who? Disciple John. Yes, any of the apostles, any of the disciples aren't listed. Anybody else? Yeah, the prophets aren't listed. He goes on to say, I don't have time to list all the prophets, but yeah, you wonder why is Isaiah not in there? Hey? Jeremiah. How about Elisha or Elijah? Why are they not listed? How about Ruth? Esther. Esther was this girl with amazing courage. It took her a few tries. If you know the story, her people were in great jeopardy. They're going to be wiped out by an evil plan of a man named Haman. And this girl, God positions her in such a way where she has won the right to be heard by the king. And so she wants to ask for help, and it takes her two or three tries to actually muster up the courage. But eventually she does it, 20 seconds of courage, and great things will happen. We see that in the life of Esther. In fact, God used her to rescue the Hebrew people from Haman's evil plot. So today, millions of people from around the world who are descendants from the tribe of Benjamin and Judah, called the Jews, celebrate the life of Esther every year. In fact, they read this story aloud on a very special day of the month of February or March called the Feast of Purim. And what's Purim? Purim. The word Purim comes from the Hebrew word pur, which means lots. So Haman, he cast lots. He threw the dice to figure out when they would actually kill the Hebrew people. So the celebration is when they read the story of Esther, and every time they mention the name Haman, what do? The kids scream and yell and stomp their feet so they cannot hear his name because he does not deserve their attention. That'd be kind of fun, hey? Every time they tell this story around the campfire and they listen to this story, they're waiting. The kids are waiting. When we hear the name Haman, we yell and scream. So they retold this story again and again. In fact, they retold the story of Elijah, Elisha, Jacob, Caleb. They retold stories so that they wouldn't forget how God rescued them. But it wasn't just to remember, it was also to instill faith in the faithless. You know, when we as parents tell you kids stories of faith, the times that we've taken steps of faith, we tell you those stories to hopefully instill faith in you. We understand that many of you don't have these experiences yet for yourself, but our hope and our prayer for you is that each of you will experience these things. That you begin to take ownership of your faith. That it's no longer your parents' faith, but now it's your faith. Some of you as adults don't have these faith experiences. And you read them, and I think what should happen is it wells something up in our hearts. It causes something to stir up in our hearts, and we begin to crave these stories for ourselves. How many of you, when you read these stories in Scripture, or you hear stories from others who follow Jesus, there's something in your heart that says, I want a story like that. Anybody? You ever had a thought, you know what, I'm tired of hearing everybody else's story of God. I want my own story. Yeah. And it stirs something up, and we begin to pray those kind of prayers. God, I want my own story. To begin to pray that is a pretty dangerous prayer, right? Because chances are, for you to have your own faith story, it's going to involve some hardship. For you to depend on God, for you to actually have God come and rescue you and support you and help you, means that you're in a place where you cannot cope alone. I wonder if some of you who are in a very hard place, God is giving you a story. He's doing something in your faith. He's growing faith in you. Last CWG, I shared with you some of the stories of where I took God's favor for a spin to see what it'll do. And what's been really encouraging for me this week is that I've heard some stories from some of you on how you too are taking God's favor for a spin. And you're experiencing God's favor in some new and fresh ways. But it takes a listening heart to hear God and to simply obey what he's saying. I want to tell you a story of a girl, a grade 12 student from Fort St. John, B.C. Her name is Carrie Jo. Just before her graduation prom, she got this brainwave. And she says that it came on her like a lightning bolt. It just so grabbed her attention. And because of the pattern that she had created in her life of just listening to God and obeying, she knew and had a clear sense that this was God's idea for her. Her idea was that she would wear a gunny sack dress to her prom if people donated $10,000 to her charity of choice. That's right. A potato sack dress for her prom. How many of you girls who are approaching graduation, or maybe not even approaching graduation, or maybe those of you who did graduate years and years ago, would have thought, hey, I'm going to wear a potato sack dress to my prom. That's a great idea. How many of you? Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch, isn't it? Because what's the culture say to us? That your prom dress, you've got to look your best. Here's a girl who's willing to sacrifice that, put it on the shelf, and wear a potato sack dress in order to raise $10,000 for her charity of choice. When I heard this, I thought, well, that sounds a bit like Esther. Here's the simple faith of a girl who's willing to lay aside her own comforts actually to see God's kingdom grow. Here's a girl who dared to take God's favor for a spin and see what it'll do. It was a move that required 20 seconds of sheer courage and would likely require courage numerous times over. Her family immediately prayed into her thought, her idea. They wanted discernment, whether this was from God or whether this was just her own crazy idea. They prayed for confirmation, and apparently God gave lots of confirmation that this was in fact what she was called to do. The money that she would raise would go to the country of Niger, the second poorest country in the world. And what she wanted to do was support this school for kids to help them learn a trade, to read and to write, learn math, health, life skills, all those things to actually pull them out of places of poverty to give them a chance to truly live the life that God designed them to live. That was her passion. The thing you need to know about Carrie Jo is that she is super shy, really reserved. But her parents say that that when she hears God tell her to do something, she actually changes. It's like a boldness comes over her. So her friends, her family, the word starts getting out. And she starts getting $100 checks trickling in. But then the news got a hold of her story. The front page headline in the local newspaper says, local teen to wear gunny sack dress to prom. And she starts getting phone calls, newspaper, radio, TV. This shy, reserved girl now is put in front of a microphone, in front of a camera, and she is terrified. She said that oftentimes before the interview, she would be at home just frantic and worried and praying and trusting, but trusted that God gave her this plan and that God would give her all that she needed to kind of work it through. She even said that in numerous times on radio that she messed up big time, but she didn't let it discourage her. She continued to cling to faith that God had this in mind for her. The main thing that she said, that she wanted to remain humble and selfless and not allow pride to set in. That was her number one aim, to be humble through the whole thing. In fact, many people who didn't even know Jesus got a hold of her story and sat down with her and wanted to hear more about her heart. And the number one desire for Carrie Jo is that she wanted to share her love for Jesus with these people. You get a sense, just this heart of gold. Well, prom came. It was June 2011. And she didn't raise $10,000. She raised $14,498.69 for Niger, for this school. When I hear that, I think, you know what? She probably didn't save millions of people immediately, but the chain reaction that happened of how many kids were actually now pulled out of poverty and given a chance to truly live, that you look at the trajectory, you look at the effect that that decision would have on those kids, which then would have an effect on other kids and more kids and families and generations. I can just imagine Carrie Jo getting to heaven one day and God saying to her, "Carrie Jo, well done. I gave you that idea. You went for it. And 100 kids went to school. And because of that, their families were affected, and thousands and millions of people were affected and pulled out of places of poverty because of your simple act of faith." It's just like another story of Esther. Only in our day and age. Going back to the chapter 11 of Hebrews. This book, this chapter, wasn't given to you so that you could memorize and look at all these folks and go, "Wow, that's amazing." Yeah, that happens, and that's good. But the ultimate purpose of this chapter is to stir something in you so that you begin to live a life of faith in the same way that these people did. So that you take God's favor for a spin. I wonder if... Do you ever feel like your name could be listed in the second edition of this book? Does God look at your simple steps of faith and go and applaud and say, "Well done"? I think oftentimes we have quite a low view of ourselves, but I wonder how many times God, His angels, this great cloud of witnesses, this arena full of people that have gone before us, look at your steps of faith and applaud and say, "Well done." I could go on, but we want to give you guys an opportunity to share a little bit of your own stories. Now, some of you might have your own story of faith. Stuff that maybe recently has happened or maybe years ago that you know would encourage others in their own faith. Some of you maybe don't want the spotlight. You don't want to share your own story. You want to share someone else's story, what you've seen in them. And maybe that person is here. Maybe it's a story of someone that has impacted you outside of this community. But we encourage you now to tell a story. We all enjoy a good story. So it doesn't need to be 10 minutes long. It could be a minute or two. But we want to hear your story. All right?